ಶೃಣೋದ್ಯಥಾ ಮುನೆ ಸುತೋಕ್ತೋ ನಿರುತಿಸ್ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯ ಸ ಸಾಧು ಮೇನೆ ನ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ನಲಂ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಸ ಚಿಂತಯ ನಿತ್ಥಮಥಾ ಶೃಣೋದ್ಯಥಾ ಮುನೆ ಸುತೋಕ್ತೋ ನಿರುತಿಸ್ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯಃ ಸ ಸಾಧು ಮೇನೇನ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ನಲಂ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಸಚಿಂತಯನ್ ನಿತ್ಥಮಥಾ ಶೃಣೋದ್ಯಥಾ ಮುನೆ ಸುತೋಕ್ತೋ ನಿರುತಿಸ್ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯಃ ಸ ಸಾಧು ಮೇನೇನ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ನಲಂ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಸಚಿಂತಯನ್ ನಿತ್ಥಮಥಾ ಶೃಣೋದ್ಯಥಾ ಮುನೆ ಸುತೋಕ್ತೋ ನಿರತಿಸ್ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯಃ ದುಮೇನೇನ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ನಲಂ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಸಚಿಂತಯ ನಿತ್ಥಮಥಾ ಶೃಣೋದ್ಯಥಾ ಮುನೆ ಸುತೋಕ್ತೋ ನಿರುತಿಸ್ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯಃ ಸ ಸಾಧು ಮೇನೇನ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ತಕ್ಷಕಾಖ್ಯಃ ಚಿರೇಣ ತಕ್ಷಕ ತಸ್ಯ ವಿರಕ್ತಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ by his divine grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kindly repeat after me. Saha he the king chintayan thinking ittham like this atha now ashrinod heard yatha as mune of the sage Suta uktaha, uttered by the sun. Nirittihi, death. Takshaka akhyaha, in relation with the snake bird. Saha, he the king. Sadhu, well and good. Mene, accepted. Na, not. Chirena, very long time. Takshaka, snake bird. Analam, fire. Prasaktasya, for one who is too attached. Virakti, indifference. Karanam, cause. Translation. While the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which would be due to the bite of a snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference towards worldly things. Purport. Real happiness is achieved by spiritual existence or by cessation of the repetition of birth and death. One can stop the repetition of birth and death only by going back to Godhead. In the material world, even by attaining the topmost planet, Brahma Loka, one cannot get rid of the conditions of repeated birth and death, but still we do not accept the path of attaining perfection. The path of perfection frees one from all material attachments, and thus one becomes fit to enter into the spiritual kingdom. Now this line is very important. Therefore, those who are materially poverty stricken are better candidates than those who are materially prosperous. Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of the Lord and a bona fide candidate for entering into the kingdom of God. But even though he was so, again Prabhupada is repeating, his material assets as the emperor of the world were setbacks to perfect attainment of his rightful status as one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. As a devotee of the Lord, he could understand that the cursing of the Brahman boy, although unwise, was a blessing upon him, being the cause of detachment from worldly affairs, both political and social. Shramik Muni also, after regretting the incident, conveyed the news to the king as a matter of duty, so that the king would be able to prepare himself to go back to Godhead. Shramik Muni sent news to the king that foolish Sringi, his son, although a powerful Brahman boy, unfortunately had misused his spiritual power by cursing the king unwarrantedly. The incident of the king's garlanding the Muni was not sufficient cause for being cursed to death. But since there was no way to retract the curse, the king was informed to prepare for death within a week. Both Shramik Muni and the king were self-realized souls. Shramik Muni was a mystic and Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee. Therefore, there was no difference between them in self-realization. Neither of them was afraid of meeting death. Maharaj Parikshit could have gone to the Muni to beg his pardon, but the news of imminent death was conveyed to the king with so much regret by the Muni that the king did not want to shame the Muni further by his presence there. He decided to prepare himself for his imminent death and find out the way to go back to Godhead. The life of a human being is a chance to prepare oneself to go back to Godhead, or to get rid of the material existence, the repetition of birth and death. Thus, in the system of Varnashram Dharma, every man and woman is trained for this purpose. In other words, the system of Varnashram Dharma is known also as Sanatan Dharma, or the eternal occupation. The system of Varnashram Dharma prepares a man for going back to Godhead, and thus a householder is ordered to go to the forest as Vanaprastha to acquire complete knowledge and then to take sannyas prior to his inevitable death. Parikshit Maharaj was fortunate to get a 7-day notice to meet his inevitable death. But for the common man, there is no definite notice, although death is inevitable for all. Foolish men forget this sure fact of death and neglect the duty of preparing themselves for going back to Godhead. They spoil their lives in animal propensities to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. Such an irresponsible life is adopted by the people in the age of Kali because of a sinful desire to condemn Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and cow protection, for which the state is responsible. The state must employ revenue to advance these three items and thus educate the populace to prepare for death. The state which does so is the real welfare state. the state of India should better follow the examples of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal executive head, than to imitate other materialistic states which have no idea of the kingdom of Godhead, the ultimate goal of human life. Deterioration of the ideals of Indian civilization has brought about the deterioration of civic life, not only in India, but also abroad. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, we welcome all the devotees. Would like to seek blessings from seniors. Rohini Nandan Prabhu is sitting here and all my senior godbrothers are sitting here. So kindly allow me to speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. For some months now, we have been discussing about this incident, how Parikshit Maharaj is unjustly cursed. If the crime is of 1 rupee, somebody steals 100 rupees, the punishment according to the law is, let's say, X days of imprisonment. And somebody steals 1 lakh rupees, the punishment will be proportionately higher. Now, in a situation, if somebody steals 20 rupees and he gets a life imprisonment, it is definitely causing disturbance. And something similar to this has happened. So even if a proper court sentences, and even if it is unjust, so a proper judge, qualified judge, who's been serving in that position of a judge for many years, and he unjustly sentences, that is also prone to creating a revolt. People will say, how can you do this? How did you lose your sense of discrimination? In this case, it was not even a well-experienced judge. It was a 7-year-old boy, inexperienced, son of a Brahmin, who took upon himself the mighty task of punishing the person who could threaten personified Kali by looking in his eyes. So here is a very qualified person and he did a small crime. He got disturbed by thirst, and because he did not receive any response from the meditating sage. He just put a dead snake around him, and for that, from a small boy who's not even fit to utter a curse, probably he was not even fit to utter a blessing. He's not even lived his life of tapasya, he's not even lived his life of sadhana properly. 7-year-old boy. But because he comes in a lineage, he has some power. So instead of using his power to bless the king, he used his power to curse the king. And these are very cultured people, because here we see the curse was uttered by Sringi far away, and probably that curse would not have even come to the notice of Parikshit Maharaj. But Shamik Rishi understands, he is such a great king, and he is also in the seminal line of devotees and also in the preceptorial line of devotees. He is a devotee not just by his biological connection, but he is also a devotee by his consciousness. Vishnu Rat. He is always thinking of Vishnu. He is always searching for Krishna. That's why his name is Parikshit. Pariksha kar raha hai sabka. Are you Krishna who saved me in the womb? Are you Krishna who saved me in the womb? So both ways he is a super qualified king. And suddenly if death comes, it's not good. So then the Shamik Rishi, although he is feeling guilt in his own heart, how could my son do this? But still, as a cultured person, he's sending a message. He cannot face the king himself, but he's sending a message. At least you go and tell the king that he's been cursed to die in 7 days and 7 nights, and let him prepare. And the king also has so much kshatriya power, has so much Brahma Tejas also. He has devotional power also. He could have counter-cursed. He could have sent his army to destroy the whole colony where this whole thing is happening. He didn't do anything. And then he's thinking, even if I go to beg forgiveness, and even if I go to express, okay, I am accepting this as it is, even that act of personally meeting Shamik Rishi will shame him. He's already undergoing shame, and now again I raise that topic. Was it your son who cursed me unjustly? Again that will shame him. So Parikshit Maharaj understands the situation of Shamik Rishi. Shamik Rishi understands the position of Parikshit Maharaj. Both have not met each other. Both have not talked to each other. And in this whole situation, a person like me, who's very uncultured and insensitive, is now given a chance to speak on this. I'm really overwhelmed by how much sensitive they are about each other's consciousness. So, in English, there are two words, right and wrong. So, what is right and wrong? According to social standards, according to general standards, if you do something which is not acceptable, it is wrong. And if you do something which generally people feel is okay, acceptable, then it is right. But this right and wrong usually keep shifting. And sometimes it tends to be very technical. I'll give you one example. A history teacher, asked in a class, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? So 1947, 15th August, India got independence. Where was it signed? And now everyone is thinking, they are searching through those history textbook pages. And one of them, he raised his hand. Yes. It was signed at the bottom of the page. The signature was done at the bottom of the page. Is this a wrong answer? Yes, the signature was done at the bottom of the page. But is it the expected answer? Yes. So, in English there are these two words, right and wrong, and there are also two more words, appropriate, inappropriate. So, the appropriate answer should have been the name of the city where it was signed, but the correct answer, the right answer is at the bottom of the page. If somebody says, how was it signed? Somebody could have replied with the right answer with a pen. But how was it signed means, it was signed in a feeling of extreme jubilation. Almost 150 years of fight of independence, sometimes using violence, sometimes using non-violence, and so many things happened in the country, and finally on that day, we got independence. So how was it signed? It was signed with a feeling of extreme jubilation, extreme happiness. But somebody can answer, it was signed with a pen. So this is the difference between right and wrong, and appropriate and inappropriate. So since we are talking about justice, what does it take to catch a criminal? Because this is all, you know, he committed a crime. What does it take to catch a criminal? If there is some proof in the form of a CCTV camera, some footage, the face is very clear, you catch him. If somebody saw, so in English that is called alibi. Alibi means a personal witness. So if there is an alibi, or if there is a thumb imprint, if there is CCTV camera, now situation is very advanced in forensic science, they can also go for a DNA test. So some hair sample, some small hair sample, if it is found, they can go for a DNA test and the person can be caught, right? So how difficult it is to catch a criminal? Not very difficult. If you have the right understanding, if you have the right technology, you can do it. Now the next question, how difficult it is to sentence a criminal? That you are the judge and the police has caught a criminal and now you are supposed to decide, should he be punished, should he be set free? Was it a case of intentional violence or was it a case of self-protection violence? Which of the two is easier, catching a criminal or sentencing a criminal? So, catching a criminal is you just catch hold of him, but sentencing means you have to analyze the whole case. You have to understand the culture of the family, the culture of the area in which this crime happened. And you have to understand what is the history of the criminal. Is he a criminal who is a psychopath? He's been doing these kind of things for many years, but now he was caught. Or it was, he's a very nice person, very gentlemanly person, but in the fit of anger, something was spoken which was not recorded. Something was done 6 years back on the same day and then somebody, malum hai na kya hua tha 6 saal pehle tumhare saath? And then suddenly that fit of anger comes and then he did something which he did not want to do, but then it ended up in a mishap. So many considerations have to be done about the victim. The victim is playing an innocent. Like, you know, in general I see when I'm traveling, a bigger vehicle hits a smaller vehicle. Who's the criminal? Always the bigger vehicle. If a car hits a bicycle, now nobody asks if the bicycle was not following the rules, they will immediately catch the car person. Now same car person, he is caught and then he was threatened and all that and he went ahead. And he is now, you know, in a little bit of days, he is thinking, why this happened to me today, although I didn't do anything and this and that. And then at the next junction, he is not driving properly and a truck is driving properly and the truck touches the car. What will happen? People will catch the truck person and they will say, tujhe dikhta nahi hai kya? So, do we take the time to analyze, is it about the size or is it about the situation? And many times, unknowingly, in our lives also, when somebody big and somebody small, there is a clash, very instinctively the finger goes to the top person, the bigger person. You must have done it purposefully, you must have done it. We do not take the hard work to understand whether the crime was committed by both, whether the crime was singularly committed by the top person, whether the crime was singularly committed by the person who was intentionally trying to provoke somebody. Yes, there are ways in which things can be done. So the point is, it's very easy to catch a criminal, but it is extremely laborious intellectually task to understand now what should be the punishment to this criminal, understanding his intentions, understanding his history, understanding what was his motive behind the crime. So as I mentioned, if somebody does a crime, let's say he murders somebody, there is an X punishment. If it is proven that that murder or that stabbing was done as an act of self-protection, will the punishment be less than X, equal to X or greater than X? Less than X. And now, third case, if it is understood that the stabbing was a cold-blooded plan that was going on for 6 months and there were people monitoring this person's, you know, 9 o'clock he goes to the temple, 10 o'clock he goes to his shop, then he works whole day, then 10 o'clock in the evening he goes to his home. So the whole thing was observed for 6 months and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything was planned. So on which day it is easiest to stab him? They found out the day on which it was easiest to stab him and in a cold-blooded way they killed him. Will this punishment be lesser than X, equal to X or greater than X? Greater than X. It means it is not about stabbing, it is about the intention behind stabbing. If it is self-protection, it is probably a very small punishment. If it is instinctively done, it is X punishment. And if it was a cold-blooded homicide, it was a cold-blooded murder, then the punishment will be much higher. And that's why I'm saying to catch a criminal is difficult, but it is not as difficult as to sentence a criminal. What is the qualification of a law enforcement officer? What is the qualification of a policeman? He needs to be strong. He needs to have a very frightful countenance. If you look at him, you should not feel pleasurable. You should feel a sense of fear. Yes? Is there any qualification of understanding law to become a police officer? You have to be an LLB if you want to be a police officer. It's very interesting. To be a police officer, you need to be very smart. You need to be strong. You need to have a face that is very frightful. But there is no need for you to be an LLB. Now, to be a judge who gives punishment, who dispenses punishment. If he is a strong person, he is a huge person, he is a hefty person, he has a big mustache, and he is a frightful person, does it help? No. Because that's not the duty of a judge. The duty of a judge is he may be thin, he may be short, he may be very simple looking, in fact he may be very attractive looking, but he has to know LLB, LLM, he has to be working as a lawyer for X numbers of years, and then he's upgraded to the court, the position of a judge. It means the law enforcement officer, the policeman, has to be strong physically. His strength is in his countenance, his appearance. But the strength of a law dispensation officer is not in his external appearance, it is in his inner calculations. It is in inner sensitivity. I need to study this case. So sometimes, a difficult case is dragged for years together. Why? Because the judge is still not convinced that everything is clear. Because when you study the mood of the criminal and the mood of the person who got the offense against him, and then you wonder, something somewhere is wrong. It's not a clear case. So sometimes he pushes for an investigation. He says, no, investigate more. Unless the judge is completely convinced, he has that authority to say, no, next hearing. So he keeps on pushing. Why does he keep on pushing? Not because he cannot see. Clear. You know, the footage is showing. He killed him. No, he's saying, it's not so simple. You know, there has to be some reason behind it. So, in our lives also, when sometimes situations happen, it's very easy to put things into two brackets, right and wrong. Ye to galat hai, ye to sahi hai. It takes a lot of sensitivity, it takes a lot of cultural awareness, and it takes a lot of coolly thinking what could have gone wrong. What could be the cause why a gentleman like this spoke like this and hurt like this and behaved like this? It's very, the right thing is, he did wrong, he did a crime, punish him. But it is inappropriate. So many times in our lives, we may be right, but we may be inappropriate. In Hindi, we can call it sahi galat or yogya ayogya. So hum kai baar sahi ho sakte hain, lekin hum ayogya rehte hain. Aur kai baar hum galat ho sakte hain, lekin hum paristhiti ki drishti se, thinking about the far consequences of this decision, sometimes you can be yogya. That for that situation, for that person, in that, you know, at that time of the evolution of the whole community, of the whole family, that decision could be seen by some people as wrong, but actually it is appropriate decision. So one day in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, they are all sitting. And one devotee called Govinda, he comes there. And Govinda says, when our master, spiritual master, Srila Ishwarapuri, he left this world, he told me specifically, you are my servant. Now onwards, as I am leaving this world, you should go and personally serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the god brother of Govinda. But spiritual master is telling one god brother that now onwards you should serve him. So Govinda, he mentions, as soon as I heard this, I ran, dhaiya. He ran to Jagannath Puri. Why? Because he took the order of his spiritual master on his head. And there was another devotee, Kashishwar Pandit, who also received the order from Ishwarapuri. But Kashishwar Pandit told Ishwarapuri, I would like to tour all the holy places. So both received the order. Kashishwar Pandit went on a tour of all the holy places and then he came to Puri after some time, and Govinda came dhaiya. He came running. And then he is telling Lord Chaitanya, I want to surrender to you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, my understanding is that God brothers are worshipable. And we should never ever take service from God. But what to speak of personal service? Sometimes in the mission of the spiritual master, in the mission of the Purva Acharya, sometimes we may be in a position to give some seva to somebody, but that should never be our constitutional position. That could be our managerial position. That could be our situational position. But God brother, spiritually, we should never give seva to any God brother. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking like that, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is asked, what is your opinion? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, actually, the spiritual master's opinion is balavan. Guru, the word guru, the guru, guru graha is also the biggest graha in Vedic understanding. So guru means heavy. So he's saying all social conventions and all right and wrong is on one side. But if guru says you do this, it may be wrong as per the Vedic understanding. But it is appropriate. Why? Because guru is saying like that. So because your spiritual master told him that he should serve you, guru agya hai balwan. So all shastras on one side and guru agya on one side. So now it is your duty to accept Govinda as your personal servant. And that time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, you are right. And I will do this. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described, accepted Govinda as a servant of his personal self. It's, he did not give him services for the institution only. He gave him services for himself. Do any one of us remember any services that Govinda did for the personal body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He would massage the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his dancing. His back, you know, there is an instance of how Govinda did not cross over the body. It is mentioned there, he was massaging the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 45 minutes. That's personal service. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if Guru is saying, I have to accept it. So it is not a right thing to do, but it is an appropriate thing to do. So in this way, we understand how we need to slowly understand how there are intricacies when some decisions are taken, and how cultured people, we have to go deeper into these situations. Now people always, when something is being delayed, or when somebody is thinking, no, but there should be some reason, let me think over it, people will always say, come on, be normal. Simple, you know, this is the crime, this is the victim, this is the criminal, give him a sentence. Don't you understand this? Aren't you intelligent? Yes, I am intelligent, but I am also sensitive. Intelligence is not the only criteria to become a judge. For us to become judge, we have to become intelligent, we have to become sensitive, and we have to become extremely far-sighted about what are the consequences of this decision. So Sringi is definitely the antithesis of this. He's not intelligent, he's a 7-year-old boy. He's definitely not cultured, otherwise he would have at least referred to his father. Father, somebody insulted you. What do you feel? Did he insult you? And father says, no, he didn't insult me. So topic closed. He is not intelligent, he is not cultured, and he also does not have the far sight to understand when one Rajarshi is taken off the planet, the whole planet becomes a breeding ground for all the four vices for centuries to come. One Rajarshi, one personality. And so if you don't have the foresight, if you don't have that wisdom, if you are not sensitive, if you are not culturally aware, then sometimes disasters happen. I was recently talking to one person about some medical situation, and then he said, oh, I also had this situation. And then I said, when did you have? So he said, I had it pre-COVID. And then with another devotee, I was discussing something. So then he said, oh, this was pre-COVID or post-COVID? So now, you know, in the recent 3-4 days, I have seen, like we used to say, before 2000, the previous century or the new century. So nowadays, the reference of time is pre-COVID and post-COVID. You know, so the reference has changed. Abhi baat karte samay, bolte hain, ek COVID ke pehle ki baat hai, ki COVID ke baad mein ki baat hai. So lot of normal, the definition of be normal, be simple, has changed a lot. You know, how you evaluate, what is right and what is wrong keeps on changing as per social conventions. New norm or new normal, as they say. Some years back, you know, to watch a movie, This is something really happened with me. This may be 10 years back. We have a preaching program at KEM Medical College. And once in a week, at that point of time, we used to go for morning chanting. And I used to go by train from here, Grand Road to Parel, and then walk to KEM. 6 o'clock in the morning, this person next to me is having a mobile phone and he's not watching a decent movie. That is the least I can say. So in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'm chanting my rounds, and at 6 o'clock at least you don't watch those kind of movies. This person is watching the movie. So what are you doing? So now, no shame, no consideration of am I right, am I wrong. Jo man mein aaya karne ka. Just last week I heard from a young boy, somebody in Haryana side, he purchased a racing bike. So one of those super bikes must have costed so many lakhs of rupees, and he wanted to touch 200 kilometers per hour. And nowadays, there is this facility of having a camera here, so that camera is on the speedometer and he's on that bike. And now he's touching. Yes, and it's being recorded and put on live. Yes, that's how they do it. Live Facebook or live YouTube. And he met with a ghastly accident. So now this desire to go 200 kilometers per hour on a bike, even on a car is dangerous, but even on a bike. Sometimes there was a video about some four boys, again in North India, who sat in a BMW and they wanted to touch 300. And this video was going on live and suddenly there's a boom. There's a crash. So, chalta hai, it's okay, you can watch certain things in public, you can do this, you can do that, but is it appropriate? Is it good for you, yourself, to do all these things? Is it good for the people around you? And is it good for you even to live a life? You're dying in the middle of the street in a very ghastly way. What message are you giving to others? So appropriate and inappropriate will always be grounded in eternality. And right and wrong will be grounded in temporariness, and it will keep on changing the situation. The definitions will keep on changing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami has traveled for 10 or 12 days running from his Krishnapur all the way to Jagannath Puri. And he's not eaten much. I think only on 3 instances he had some buttermilk or something. So, bhakshana apeksha nahi samasta divasa gaman kshudha nahi badhe chaitanya charana prapte man. He's just running madly. And finally he meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts him. And there is a conversation there. Lord Chaitanya says, actually your father and your uncle, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, they were related to my grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti. So in one sense, they are also like my grandfathers. So I would like to say something about them. And he says, your father and grandfather, they practically sponsor all the Brahmanas in Nadia district. All the Brahmanas who are staying in Nadia district, that whole district, if they had any necessities, if they were short of money, all that sponsorship was happening by Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. So very pious, very charitable, Vaishnavas. But Lord Chaitanya says that somehow, because they are attached to material facilities, he says, Tathapi Vishayera Swabhava Kare Maha Andha Sei Karma Karaye Yate Haye Bhava Bandha. He says, your father and uncle, they are good people, they are good Vaishnavas, but still I can see that they are so much attached to material facilities. And he says, it is the nature of materialism that it makes you do certain activities that cause bhava bandha, that you get more and more bound in the material world. So he says, I would say your uncle and your father, they are almost Vaishnavas. He calls them praya Vaishnavas. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, they are not materialists, but they are definitely Kanishtha Adhikaris, that they could not utilize the opportunity of being born in a Vaishnava family to go back home, back to Godhead. In fact, when Raghunath Das Goswami meets, and the first sentence Lord Chaitanya says is, Lord Krishna is very merciful that he saved you from a pit of stool-eating worms. In olden days, when there were no sophisticated washrooms, somewhere outside the village there was a pit, and in that all the dirt was thrown, and there would be worms there. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Raghunath, Krishna has saved you from the pit of stool-eating worms. He is calling that family in which they are sponsoring the life of so many Brahmanas in Nadia district to lead a cultured life. He is calling them as worms in a stool. Worms in a pit of stool. And this is little shocking to Raghunathas, but then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions, it's not about the person, it is about that you have that facility, but still you are getting caught in there. And Bhagavatam is very clearly saying, Swanushtitaha Pumsaha. No, that's a Swanushtitaha Pumsaha. Vishvaksena Kathasuya, Na Utpadaya Yadiratim, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. That basically you did everything, but at the end you did not develop Rati. And then the next immediate verse is, Dharmasya hi apavargasya, na artho arthaya upakalpate. Dharmasya dharmai kantasya labho, what is that? Yeah. So the essence of the second shloka, these two shlokas, 1.2.8 and 1.2.9, both of them are saying that finally the goal of life is not to enjoy material facilities. The goal of life is to always direct life towards having rati, having affection, having attachment towards Krishna. And even if dharmai kantasya, the person who has made spirituality his ekanta dharma, somebody who has made Krishna conscious, he should never use the gains that he is getting for material enjoyment. He should always use whatever facilities he has for advancing spiritually. So there are these words, right and wrong, and there is this words, appropriate and inappropriate. There are two more words, sentences like this. There are two more sets of words. In English, there are two words, good and bad. What is good? Jisme fayda hota hai, wo good hai. Aur jisme nuksan ho gaya, wo bad. Are, how was the day? Oh, today was a bad day. What happened? Oh no, I didn't earn much money. Oh, how was the day? Oh no, I didn't do much business. Something like that. And there are two more words, auspicious and inauspicious. So based on the same discussion that we had till now, something may be right, but it may be inappropriate. Something may be wrong, but it may be appropriate. Similarly, something may be good in our life, achha lag raha hai, but it may be inauspicious in our life. It is pulling us in the wrong direction. It is pulling us to a lower tendencies. How was your birthday? It was a good birthday. Everyone praised me. Everyone glorified me. And everyone gave me a costly phone or something like that. Something that is considered to be good. But was it auspicious for you? Achha or bura in Hindi and shubh or ashubh. So sometimes bad things happen in our life. People say, तेरे साथ तो बहुत बुरा हो गया, ये कैसे हो गया तेरे साथ? तू तो भक्त है, तू तो माला करता है, हम लोग तो माला भी नहीं करते, लेकिन मेरे जीवन में ऐसा कभी नहीं हुआ. We have to ask this question, just like we ask the question, it may be right, it may be wrong, but is it appropriate or is it inappropriate? सही है या गलत है, लेकिन योग्य है कि अयोग्य है, वैसे हमको पूछना चाहिए, अच्छा हुआ कि बुरा हुआ, लेकिन मेरे लिए शुभ हुआ कि अशुभ हुआ? So sometimes good things happen in our life, but it takes us in an inauspicious path. And sometimes terrible bad things happen in our life. But Parikshit Maharaj, when he received this bad news, no fault, no intention to insult anybody, so in and out he is clean. He is super clean. He can threaten Kali. How clean he is. But such a person also, oh, what a bad thing happened to such a nice king. Kya fayda hua bhakti karne ka? Arey, aap log hamesha mala karte rehte hain, mandir jate rehte hain, Hare Krishna karte rehte hain. Kya hua? Cancer ho gaya na usko bhi. The point is, don't put everything in right and wrong, put it in appropriate and inappropriate. Similarly, don't put everything in good and bad, put it in auspicious and inauspicious. So Parikshit and Shramik Rishi in today's words are telling us, whatever happened was not a good event. We are not glorifying the event. We are not on the side of Shringi. We are saying the expertise of the Vaishnava is he utilizes the facilities that he has in terms of Shravanam, in terms of the books, in terms of association, in terms of yatras, in terms of sadhana retreats. All these facilities are given to us. We use those facilities and turn clearly bad incident into an auspicious incident. It's a challenge for all of us. Because what is this yuga? What is Kali Yuga? It is full of faults. This is an ocean of faults. So in this ocean of faults, if we keep searching for good things, we are super, we are artificially optimistic. So we will be surrounded by dirt only. We will be surrounded by plastic bags only. We are not going to get pearls floating on the ocean. Now it is our expertise. It's a challenge for us. It's a journey. It's a meditation for us. Let me take shelter of the Bhagavatam. Let me take shelter of the person Bhagavat. Let me take shelter of the Purva Acharya's scriptures. And let me understand how to use these spectacles. It's clearly smelly. It's clearly bad. It is clearly ugly. How can I train myself to brand something that is bad as auspicious? We don't have to necessarily brand something that is good as inauspicious. Sometimes it could be, sometimes it may be good also, it may be auspicious also. Somebody who receives a good phone and he utilizes it to hear more of Harikatha, good, nice, very nice. So we don't have to focus on marking or equating good with inauspicious, but we have to focus. We have to take it up as our mission to brand, to connect bad, that people tell us it is bad and our mind tells us it is bad. How to make it auspicious in the long run? And that's our challenge actually. And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us. So don't get caught in words like right and wrong. Focus on words appropriate or inappropriate. Don't get caught in words like good and bad. Focus on words auspicious and inauspicious. Because in Krishna consciousness, there is nothing inauspicious. If Krishna, you are sincerely worshipping Krishna, even if there are some reversals here and there, but finally they will turn out to be auspicious. If nothing happens, at least your consciousness will go towards Krishna and that will be very auspicious for you. Srila Haridas Thakur is born in a Muslim family, but he is constantly chanting Hare Krishna, right from his childhood days. So because he is chanting Hare Krishna, even though he is born in a Muslim family, the Muslim community treated him like an outcast. Look at this person. He's born in our high religion, but he is chanting the names of Ram and Krishna, who are the lesser religion. So the Muslims, they outcast him. And because he was chanting Hare Krishna, but he was born in a Muslim family, the Hindus, they said, see, anyway, he's born in that Muslim religion, so what we have to do with him? So the Hindu community outcasted him because he was born in a Muslim family. And the Muslim community outcasted him because he was born in a Muslim family, but he was chanting all his life. Right from his early days, Haridas Thakur had a bad childhood. But he is not focusing on the good and bad. He is chanting Hare Krishna and he is making it auspicious. And he is continuing chanting Hare Krishna. And when somebody threatens him, actually the Qazi, somebody told him that, you know, he is a Muslim and he is staying here and he is chanting Hare Krishna. And I don't think even the Hindus respect him. Because the Hindus also don't come to him. He is all alone. So I don't think we have to fear anybody. No revolt, no rebellion will happen if you punish him. He is not even considered a saint by the Hindus also. So you do whatever you want to him, you punish him. So he is called and is put into a jail. And when the news comes, the people who are outside the jail, who are saintly people, they felt, oh, what injustice on Haridas Thakur. A saintly person like Haridas Thakur is put into jail, but they kept quiet. They didn't say anything. And the people who were inside the jail, who were imprisoned for the wrong reasons by the Qazi, by the king, the Qazi complained to the king. So the king had imprisoned them. So the people who were inside the jail, they were thinking, we are also criminals, we are also prisoners, right or wrong, whatever. But now that somebody like Haridas Thakur is coming inside, somebody is always having the holy name on his tongue is coming inside, it will be auspicious for us. So Haridas Thakur comes and they have his darshan. And when they have this darshan, they are looking for some Ashirvachan. That's what a saint does. He gives some Ashirvachan, Ashirvad. So Haridas Thakur is looking at them and then he says, they are inside a prison and they are expecting some good words, you will get free or something. And Haridas Thakur says, I'll stand the Bengali and then also speak in English. Thaka thaka ekhana achha ena sthane Gupta Ashirvada Kari Hasena Kautuke. Gupta Ashirvada. Gupta Ashirvada means
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati translates as, he gave an ambiguous blessing. Ambiguous means equivocal. This or that you don't understand. So Haridas Thakur said, oh my prisoners in the jail, you remain as you are. This is my Ashirvad. And hearing this Gupta Ashirvad, hearing this ambiguous blessing, all the prisoners, they became Vishaditaman, Haila Vishaditaman. They became morose. Oh, we thought we will get free from here by justice. That justice is not happening. So at least the saintly person, you know, saints are connected to Krishna. So if the saint says, we'll be released in due course of time. But the saint is also, thaka thaka. Thaka eisthane. You remain as you are. And seeing their moroseness, Srila Haridas Thakur, he says, actually it is mentioned one important thing. As soon as Haridas Thakur came and they offered their obeisances, the power of Haridas Thakur is, bhakti kare sabe kari bena namaskar, sabara haila Krishna bhakti ravikar. Just by offering obeisances to Haridas Thakur, they all experienced spiritual ecstasy. What is the power of Haridas Thakur? And that Haridas Thakur is saying, stay as you are. And these prisoners, they became Vishaditaman. So Haridas Thakur says, don't be so morose. I will never ever give any inauspicious blessing to anybody. I have never done that in my life and I'll never give it to you. You know what I meant? What I meant is, right now you are in the prison. There is no envy for anybody in the prison. When you are out, you are successful. So people become envious of you. If you are not successful, you become envious of you. In the prison, you are at the mercy of somebody else. Your food will be determined by somebody else. Your facilities will be determined by somebody else. You have no control over your eating, your sleeping, your facilities. So there can be no envy. So Haridas Thakur says, in the prison you are here, you are in a, you don't have any anxiety. Kya karenge abhi? 2 mahine ke liye agar saja hui hai, to 2 mahine te rehna hai. Chhot nahi sakte, kuch nahi kar sakte. There is no material anxiety. And he specifically mentions, you don't have any envy. And because you are free from material anxiety and because you are free from envy, you are in the best material condition to chant the holy names. And when I came in, you offered namaskars to a Shuddha Vaishnava. So that became a fertile ground. As soon as you serve a great soul, your heart becomes a fertile ground for becoming a Vaishnava. So in this situation, when you don't have any material anxiety and when you are free from envy, chant the holy names of Krishna. And then he also gives the Ashirvad which they wanted. He says, in 2 or 3 days, you will be free from the prison. But he didn't give it initially. He said, the main purpose is not that you are free from this prison or you are free from the, you are out or inside this prison. The main point is you should be free from the greater prison. The material world, the Durga, that is being managed by Durga Devi. You should get out from there. So he said, actually I gave you the most auspicious. Krishna Drida Bhakti Hauka Tomar. I bless you that you become a Drida Bhakta of Krishna. So these are the Ashirvads that are given by saintly people. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever anybody would meet him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, Krishna Matir Astu. Let you always be Krishna conscious. Gopinath Pattanayak's story, Lord Chaitanya kept on asking, what was Gopinath Pattanayak doing? Oh, Mahaprabhu, he's on the Changa. What is Gopinath Pattanayak doing? Mahaprabhu, you need to save his family. He's Bhavanand Raya's son, he's Ramana. What is Gopinath Pattanayak's consciousness? And at the last moment they said, Gopinath Pattanayak, when he was raised on the Changa, he was chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if he is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will save him. And at the right moment, you know, the king sent a messenger and a prince who was about to give him punishment came there and stopped that whole punishment. And just because of chanting Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna will save you. And he was actually saved from that situation. But the whole point was that, did he take shelter of Krishna? So these incidents, you know, we are not Parikshit, we are not Gopinath Pattanayak, we are not the prisoners in Haridas Thakur. So we may not behave this way, but these are all instructions for us to, whatever little difficulties come in our life, let us take this as a lesson, let us take this as a pointer that let us go more and more into this consciousness of appropriate and inappropriate rather than right and wrong. Let us go more and more into this consciousness of auspicious and inauspicious instead of good and bad. That would be a good lesson for us from learning from Parikshit Maharaj, Shamik Rishi. They took Saranga Iva Sarabhuk, they took the Sar out of that, and here we are in Kali Yuga. That's all we can do. We can just take the sar. So thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Hare Krishna.